Well, we've been going deep in God, haven't we? We've been endeavoring to experience a deeper life. Say, God wants me to go deeper. Amen. And we can go deeper. We can have a richer, more fulfilling life in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus said he came to give us a life more abundantly. All right? And God's, you'll never get to the bottom of God's riches. You'll never get to where he doesn't have anything else to share or to give, because the more you get into God, you realize that he is unfathomable. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 46. Luke 6, 46. And the Bible says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, if you're going to name Jesus Lord, you're going to have to do what he says. That's just part of it. Amen? And he said, "Whosoever comes to me," notice, does he exclude anybody there? Is there anybody on this planet that's not a whosoever? "Whosoever comes to me," yeah, you've got to come to God. Amen? You've got to come to him. "And hears my sayings and does them." Notice, you're going to do three things. A person's going to come to God, they're going to hear his sayings, and they're going to do them. Okay? So a person who comes to God, here's what he says, and does them. Jesus is saying, "I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house," and I want you to notice this phrase, "and digged deep." If you want to build a strong house, you're going to have to dig until you hit the rock, amen? And you're going to have to dig so that you can lay that foundation on the rock. It's important to have your life founded on the rock. Because notice what happens. "When the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock." See, when you dig deep enough and you're founded upon the rock, you won't be shaken. Storms will come, things will happen, but you won't be shaken. And then verse 49, "But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation." You know, if you hear the word and you don't do it, you're not founded. You don't have a foundation. You're on a slippery slope. "He built a house upon the earth." Notice, he didn't dig. He just laid it on top. He just laid it on whatever. If you're going to build a house, you got to build it on a foundation. "And once again, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately," notice, "immediately it fell. And the ruin of it," of that house, "was great." So we've been talking about how to have a deeper life in Christ Jesus. We talked about how you can have a more intimate relationship with God. And we took you on steps to draw closer to God, to get closer to God. We took you on a path down intimacy lane. All right? And then we talked about deepening your character. Because if you want to walk with God, he's going to work on your character. If God will promote you, you're going to have a character to sustain you, all right? And when our character is weak, we will fall. And today, we're going to go a little bit further, and we're going to find out how we can be a friend of God. Amen? Anybody want to be a friend of God? God invites all of his children. Anyone that believes in him can be a friend of God. And we can walk with God. You know, Amos 3:3, the Bible says, "Can two walk together unless they be in agreement?" You know, when you agree with what God is saying and you agree with what God is doing and you're walking with God, you're hanging out with God, you're fellowshipping with God, you're inviting him into your life, you're letting him lead and guide and direct you, you're going to be God's friend. And the greater a friend of God you can be, the more God will show you, the more God will take you to, the more God will reveal to you. Amen? Well, you want to learn how to be a friend of God? What does it mean to be God's friend? It means to be his associate, his acquaintance. How many want to be God's pal? God wants someone to pal around with. You realize that's why he created man? He wanted someone to pal around with. And what did he do when he created man? God and Adam walked together in the cool of the day. Because why? God is cool. When you're walking with God, it's cool. It's cool to walk with God. And God and Adam, they fellowshiped. They had a time. I mean, I'm sure that God laughed at some of the names that Adam gave to the animals. Platypus? Come on. But God and Adam had fellowship. It means to be God's companion. It means to be his supporter. It means that you and God are allies. Let me tell you something. When you go into a battle, you want a friend. You want an ally like God on your side. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? Hallelujah. A friend is someone who is emotionally close to someone, and they trust. Friendship is a bond of liking and trust. It's marked by companionship and varying degrees of intimacy. That's according to the Concise Bible Dictionary. See, being a friend of God will get you on the right path, and it will lead you to success in life. Hallelujah. You know, there were two individuals in the Bible that God called his friends. One was Abraham, and the other was Moses. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. This is where Jehoshaphat was praying to God, and he made this statement in the midst of his prayer. He said, Did you not hear, O our God? Drive out the inhabitants of this land before you, your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. Do you think Abraham turned out pretty good? You know, see, when you're God's friend, things are going to go well for you in life. When you're God's friend, you're going to see the impossible become possible. When you're God's friend, you're going to see the miraculous move into your life. When you're God's friend, you're going to have insight into his kingdom, into what he wants to do on the earth. How many know when God was going to do something with Sodom and Gomorrah? He came down with two angels, and they came where Abraham was. And Abraham started to minister to them. He started to feed them, and they began a conversation. And all of a sudden, God says, should I hide what I'm about to do with my servant Abraham? See, God was about to do something in the earth, but he wanted to tell a friend. He wanted to tell a friend so his friend could intercede. Amen? And so Abraham, because he was a friend of God, he had insight into what God wanted to do in this earth. Okay? Go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. I'm so excited. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. That's how excited I was. And you know I'm doing pretty good if I'm perky right now. Isaiah 41 and verse 8. It said, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my who? My friend. God called Abraham his friend. And we know that Abraham and Sarah, they had a lot of great things happen in their life. See, you can have a friend in high places. Amen? See, I've got a friend in high places. When you have a friend in high places, he will use his influence to help you. He will use his influence to show favor to you. Say, God is my friend. Say, I'm God's friend. Hallelujah. And then go to James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2. We're going to see the next thing here where God called Abraham his friend. James chapter 2 verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So how did Abraham become God's friend? He simply believed God. See, a true friendship is based on truth. Amen? A true friendship cannot be based on lies, cannot be based on deception, all right? It has to be based on truth. And when Abraham believed God, he simply believed God, and he became God's friend. So how are you going to become God's friend? You're going to believe God, amen? Now, when you believe God, it doesn't mean you do nothing. True belief is acting on God's word, okay? And let's look at this other example in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. See, being a friend of God is another element, another level in going deeper with God. Amen? Because really a friendship is a relationship, isn't it? And in a friendship... you exchange things, you share things, you know. There's a whole lot of things going on in a friendship. And in verse 11 of Exodus 33, it says this, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. How many know that Joshua saw the benefits of Moses having a friendship with God? And how many know that Joshua took that to heart? And we know that Joshua became God's friend because the captain of the army of hosts appeared unto Joshua before he was going to go to Jericho. And Joshua said, are you for me or against me? He said, I'm for you. I'm the captain of the host of the army of the Lord. And listen, when you have a friend of God, he will go into battle with you. He will fight for you. He will protect you. He will defend you. He will make sure that you are safe. Can you say amen? So, what do friends do? If you want to be a friend of God, which everybody can be, it is a choice for everyone to make. You don't have to be God's friend. You don't have to have a close relationship with God. But you know what? It's kind of hard worshiping God from a distance. When God wants to speak to you in a whisper, you better be close to hear when he whispers. Amen? How many know that you can't hear a whisper down the road? If you want God to whisper to you, you're going to have to get close to God. You're going to have to, you know, and how many know, to be a friend is risky. The Bible says if you want friends, you show yourself friendly. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to open yourself up. You've got to expose yourself. Amen? And you've got to trust because your friend knows you better than anybody else. Amen? C.S. Lewis said this, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Amen? George Washington said this, true friendship is a plant of slow growth and must undergo and withstand the shocks of adversity before it is entitled to the appellation. All right? So as we learn about what friends do, it's going to help us to be a better friend of God. Amen? The better friend you are to God, the more he will trust you. The more he will show you. The more he will do for you. And we're going to look at an example in the Bible of someone whose friendship resembles that of our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Go to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. And let's look at this whole chapter, because there's only a few verses. But it gives us some insight into what a friend does. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Now that word abide means to hang out. And tabernacle is God's dwelling place. Amen? So only friends get to hang out in God's dwelling place. Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly. How you live matters. How you live matters. And works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Notice every friendship is based on truth. Now look at verse 3. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. That word neighbor is actually the word friend. Nor takes up reproach against his neighbor. So what is he saying here? He's saying friends do not slander, they do not do evil to each other, and they do not take up a reproach. And a reproach has to do with criticism and putting stuff on and doing all that. Friends don't do that. A reproach is a disgrace or a shame. So a friend does not take up slander. A friend does no evil. A friend does not, you know, a friend protects his friends. Amen? A true friend. A true friend will not expose you to danger knowingly. This is how we need to be with God. Amen? Let's go on to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And the Amplified says, and is born as a brother for adversity. So friends are loyal companions even when times are tough. Amen? What's that phrase? When the tough happens, the tough get going? When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? You really get to see who your friends are when you're in the midst of adversity. Do you realize that most of Jesus' friends weren't with him when he was hanging on the cross? When he told the crowds of people that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, so many people left him that he turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves you when you get up in the morning without making yourself look good. A friend loves you when you're in a good mood, and a friend loves you when you're in a bad mood. They may not be around you, but they love you. A friend loves you at your best, and a friend loves you at your worst. A friend loves you when you're doing the right thing, and a friend loves you when you make a mistake. Why? The Bible says a friend loves at all times. Think about the times that you've had in your life. The times that you were going through a struggle and the voice from a friend called you up or talked to you, doesn't that bring comfort to your heart? A friend loves at all times, the good times and the bad times. You know, a friend is like glue. They just stick to you, right? No matter what you go through, you can't shake them off. Because a friend loves at all times. Are you that friend to God? Do you love God at all times? Or are there times when your circumstances become greater than God? How do I know that? Because you spend more time talking about your circumstances than you do about how great God is. Moving right along. Go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. See, if you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to know what a friend does, right? You're going to have to know how a friend acts. Isn't it awesome how God put so many things about being a friend in His Word? You know, we're going to leave here today and we have no excuse but to be a good friend to someone. Now, being a good friend doesn't mean that you have thousands of friends. When I was in Bible school, the month of July in 1990, my family and I went to New Zealand. And we spent a month there. If you've ever traveled to New Zealand, you know why you spend a month there, because it takes you a week just to recover from the time change. I spent 17 hours in an airplane, in a hollow metal tube. And anyway, school started towards the end of August. I was in New Zealand the month of July. So when I went to Rhema, I didn't have time to find a roommate. I had just enough time to get my apartment and get started in school. And so I can remember, and you know, I've shared this story before, but my parents came and helped me. They moved me from Illinois to Tulsa. And the only furniture I had was a folding card table and two folding chairs and a cot that my feet hung over 6 inches. And I had a TV, but it sat on a box. What clothes couldn't fit, you know, what clothes could fit in my closet, the rest were in boxes around my cot. And I can remember it was a Wednesday when my parents headed back for Illinois. And I laid in the middle of my floor in that apartment in Tulsa, and I wept. I bawled my eyes out. That was my first time being away from home. But you know what? I started working at a place called Bill's Discount Grocery. And at that time, we would carry groceries out for people. Now, if you've ever lived in Tulsa, it gets to be about 100 degrees. So you go from the air conditioning into the heat, to the air conditioning into the heat, back and forth. But anyway, there were two guys there. One was named Matt, and the other one was named Steve. One was from Indiana, one was from Boston. And after a couple months, we started to hang out, and we became good friends. We pretty much did everything together, and Matt was an only child, which was good because when his parents came to visit, they treated me like they treated him. And see, when you have good friendships, when you have good relationships, good things will happen to you. I encourage you to be a good friend to someone. Amen? This will help you today. Glory to God. So I'm thankful. I didn't have a whole lot of friends, but the friends that I had, they were of good quality. And we ministered together. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a testimony out of that. In between my first and second year at Rhema, Matt invited me to go to Indiana and spent a few days there. And they introduced me to their church. And in my second year of Rhema, their church sent me $100 a month. And believe me, there were some months that was really necessary. If that hadn't have come in, my tuition probably wouldn't have gotten paid. But God is good. See, when you have good friendships, when you have good relationships. Okay? So Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can you say amen? A true friend sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus is the true friend. His relationship exceeds blood. He's closer than a brother. He's a friend. When you need him, you can call upon him. When you need help, he'll help you because he's a true friend. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. As a matter of fact, Jesus has not stopped loving you. Because he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Everybody probably has in-laws and outlaws in your family. But nothing can replace a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend who is that close in your life is just like a brother. Matter of fact, you hang out with them so long, people think you're brothers. You can have that kind of relationship with God. A true friend. Jesus is a true friend. Can you say amen? Go to Proverbs 22. This is a powerful one. We're talking about what a friend does. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So in other words, friends that have a pure heart and speak with graceful lips attract a king to be your friend. How many know when the king is your friend, good things happen to you? Is not Jesus a king? And he's attracted to purity. He's attracted to grace. We are saved by faith through, or by grace through faith. When you have a pure heart and you have graceful lips, graceful speech, the king will say, I want to be your friend. Because the king looks for quality relationships. See, because a true friend is not going to backbite. A true friend is not going to gossip. Matter of fact, I found out that gossip destroys friendships. And how many know when you have a good friend, and if someone speaks bad about that friend in your presence, doesn't that get you riled up? You're like, you don't speak to them that way, or you're going to have to deal with me, right? Well, see, friendship is really a covenant relationship. You can't choose who your family is, but you can choose who your friends are. And let me tell you something, you better make good quality choices of who your friends are. Because people are like elevators. They'll take you up or they'll take you down. You know, you don't want a friend like Ahab. Ahab was the most wicked king up to that point in Israel's history. And I can remember when he invited Jehoshaphat to come and go into battle with him. And Jehoshaphat had enough sense to call for a prophet of God. And the prophets came and all the false prophets said, you're going to go into battle. They made horns with their hands. They said, you're going to gore the enemy. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God in the house? Well, they had locked up the prophet of God because he always told the truth. And so they brought the prophet from the jail cell. Micaiah was his name. And he looked and he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even speak to you, Ahab. You got to be careful of the quality of friends that you have. Amen? You want friends who believe like you believe. You want friends who share your values. You can't just make anybody your friend. Because their relationship will affect you negatively or positively. When you have a bad apple in a bunch of apples, do the good apples make that bad one good? No, eventually the bad apple will start to make the other ones rot. So you got to be careful who your friends are. Hallelujah. But have a pure heart and graceful lips. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. Verses 9 and 10. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Your own friend and your father's friend forsake not. Neither go into your brother's house in the day of your calamity, for better is a neighbor or a friend that is near than a brother far off. So what's he saying? A friend's counsel is like ointment and perfume. It makes you smell good. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? It delights the heart and is sweet. Why? A friend, a true friend, has the ability to be totally and completely honest. When you have a true friend, they will tell you what to correct. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, you need to deal with it, because you're not going to get any better advice than from a true friend. It's like ointment and perfume. It's like sweetness, the counsel of a true friend. You know, Jesus would love to counsel you. Matter of fact, he's given us another counselor called the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he didn't leave us as orphans. He sent his best person on the job to take over, called the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit and Jesus, they share the same nature. They're both God. We have God's Spirit, who is our counselor, our comforter, our standby, our strengthener, our advocate. He's our teacher and our guide. The question is, when he speaks, do you listen to him? That's how you know if you're a true friend of God. If you're a true friend of God, when God corrects you, you'll change. But if you're not a true friend, God will correct you and you won't change. You'll keep doing the same old thing. You'll keep doing the same thing that he's trying to correct. Here's what Clovis G. Chapel said. Whenever you make up your mind to refuse to go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do, you must make up your mind at the same time to renounce the friendship of God. You cannot walk with him and at the same time be in rebellion against him. God has no possible way of entering into fellowship with the soul that is disobedient to his will. Believe me, it is absolutely useless. It is mere mockery to say, Lord, Lord, and then refuse to do the things that he commands you to do. See, we know that God is a friend, because God never changes. God is always there. But the question is, are we a friend of God? Am I a friend of God? Am I walking with God like I should? That's really the question today. The question is to strengthen your friendship with God. And guess what? If you're not as close a friend with God, come on and get closer. If you're not, listen, God is one step away. What do I mean? You take a step and he'll meet you at that step. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs. I missed Proverbs 27:6. Notice what it says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, when someone tells you the truth, what is the truth? The truth is a double-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. And sometimes when a true friend tells you the truth, it hurts. It wounds. But the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of the enemy. Because the enemy, he'll kiss you. How was Jesus betrayed? With a kiss. Be careful when someone is lavishing kisses on you, unless, of course, it's your spouse. Amen? Verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Maybe some of you are dull because you're not being sharpened by the right relationship. Maybe you're letting the enemy, you went to the enemy's sharpening shop. When you go to the enemy's sharpening shop, the opposite effect changes. You don't become sharper, you become duller. You become distant. You become eventually deceived. Notice, as iron sharpens an iron, a friend will make you sharper. A friend will make you better. A friend will make you more alert. A friend will make you stronger. A friend will help you face challenges and adversities better. Because iron sharpens iron. The countenance, the smile of a friend, the fellowship of a friend, the word of a friend. You know, David, he was out doing a battle, him and his men. They were set up in Ziklag, and they left Ziklag, and they were fighting an enemy. While they were fighting an enemy, another enemy came into Ziklag, and they took the men. They killed the men. They took the women and the children, and they burned everything down in Ziklag. And David came back. Now, you got to understand, they had just been fighting a battle. They were exhausted. They were tired. And how many know, when you're tired, things are magnified? And they came back to see the smoke and the ashes of their city, and no wife to greet them, no children to hug them, and they were upset. And their first thought was, we are going to stone David. Now, in that moment, David didn't have a friend that he could turn to, but he could turn to a friend that was closer than a brother. And he called upon God. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, you may think that you don't have any friends, but there is one who's always there. There is one who never leaves, and you can call upon him. He's one phone call away. And he always answers his phone. It never goes to voicemail. And there's never a dropped call. David knew his relationship with the Lord, and he had to encourage himself in the Lord. So a friend will make you sharper. Jesus said, you are my friends in John 15, if you obey me. He said, I don't call you servants, because the master doesn't show what he's doing to his servants, but he does show what he's doing to his friends. See, a friend is another level other than a servant. It's a closer level. It's a more intimate level. Jesus said, you are my friends if, notice if, that's up to you. You can be God's friend today. You can have a closer walk with Jesus today. You can draw near to God today. Some of you have been distant. And you know what? When you're distant from God, you can't hide it. Distance from God shows up in your life. You can't hide it. How do you gotta shorten the distance between you and God, and you gotta come closer. God's not the one that has to move. Come on. God already made his move. Now it's up to us. Hallelujah. Friendship is based in love. A true friend would lay his life down for another. Friends know what the other is doing. Friends share secrets with their friends. Friends are fruitful. Friends genuinely love each other. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want to bring in this example of what a friend does. First Samuel 18:1. This is about Jonathan and David. We can learn a lot from how their friendship was naturally, because it represents our relationship with Christ spiritually. Is this helping you today? And I'm working on my delivery. What do you mean? I'm trying to minimize when I preach my spit from going. I'd like more people to come in the front row. I don't want people to be afraid. You don't have to fear the spit. I just had to say that to see if you're awake. 1 Samuel 18:1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, this wasn't a sexual kind of love. It was a friendship. It was a brotherhood. It was a closeness. David and Jonathan became friends. Their souls were knit together. They were like Forrest Gump. They were two peas in a pod. What did he say? They go together like peas and carrots. Isn't it awesome how peas and carrots go together? Like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Like Charlie Brown and Snoopy. This is the kind of relationship I'm talking about that we can have with God. Listen, God loves to have fun. God loves to joke. God loves to laugh. God is not uptight. But he does want a relationship with you. And he has moved heaven and earth so that that could happen. Let's go on. Look at verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. A covenant is an agreement. They made a blood covenant. They intermingled their blood. They cut their fingers with their hands and they put it together, and it was a binding covenant. Why? Because it was based in love. It was based on truth. Do you realize that Jonathan's father became David's enemy? Their friendship was about to be tested and tried to see if they were going to be really true friends. But a friend sticks closer than a brother, and a brother's born for adversity. Okay? So I'm not going to have you turn to all these scriptures, because it's in chapters 18 through 20. All right? And look at what happened. After they made a covenant, verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Who was Jonathan? He was the king's son. He was a prince. He had a royal robe. He stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and his girdle. Anytime that you're in a friendship like this, there's going to be an exchange of goods. Anytime that you enter into a relationship that's based on agreement to the truth, there's always going to be a divine exchange. What did Jesus say? I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll give you joy for the oil of mourning. I'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you came to know Jesus Christ, he gave you things. He gave you life. He gave you strength. He gave you hope. He gave you peace. Because he's a true friend. He gave him all of his armor, his belt. I wonder what he used to hold up his pants. Just a joke. Do you realize one time I was at a carnival in my hometown? And I had on this shirt. I forget what was on it. It was like a Christian shirt. And I started talking to this guy about Jesus. And he said, I really like that shirt. He said, and I said, if I give you this shirt, will you let me talk to you about Jesus? He said, I took the shirt off right there. And I gave it to him so I could tell him about Jesus. I walked home with no shirt. I gave him the shirt off my back, literally. What would you do to tell Jesus, to share Jesus with someone? Well, I'd be embarrassed. Well, that's why you don't share much. Anyway, let's move on. I'm not saying you have to give your shirt to tell someone to Jesus, but that's just what I felt led to do at that moment. All right? Go to 19 verse 1. And, you know, Jonathan, he delighted in David. He enjoyed being his friend. And in 19, and Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Uh-oh. Did you really mean, Jonathan, that you're going to be my friend? Even when your father says that everyone should kill me? Notice what Jonathan's response was. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, I pray you, take heed to yourself until the morning and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. He went against the king's wishes. He went against his father's wishes. Why? Because his father was speaking crazy things. His friendship, his covenant. He stuck with his friendship. He stuck with his covenant. Because anybody that wants to kill someone, you're not being motivated by God. Jonathan protected David. He warned him of the danger. Verse 4. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been to you ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it. You did rejoice. Wherefore then will you sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Verse 6, and Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. Well, that took some guts to stand up to the king and to stand up to his father and to speak good of David when his own flesh and blood was saying he should be killed. This friendship was more than just a natural binding friendship. This friendship was originated in the Spirit. And do you realize, I'm just going to touch on it here, but after Jonathan died, David took care of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, because of his friendship with Jonathan. Remember that scripture we read? Don't forsake the friends of your parents. Listen, if your parents have good friends, you need to keep a good relationship with them. You might need help from them someday. Listen, friends don't forsake each other. Friends don't quit on each other. Friends don't give up on each other. Friends don't walk out on each other. Even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging, friends are there. And that's how we need to be with God, because that's how he is with us. Can you say amen? And then Jonathan brought David to Saul. Chapter 20. This time David was fleeing for his life because Jonathan realized that an evil spirit had gotten on his father, and this desire to kill David got rekindled. And even Saul tried to even kill his own son Jonathan because he was speaking good of David. Verse 1, chapter 20. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that you shall not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. So he didn't want to accept that his father was trying to kill David. And verse 3, David said moreover, and said, your father certainly knows that I have found grace in your eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever your soul desires, I will do it for you. You talk about the love that Jonathan had for David. That's the love that we need to have for the Lord, for the things of God, for the people of God. We need to have this kind of love that refuses to quit. Verse 9. And Jonathan said, far be it from you, for I know certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon you. Then would I not tell you? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if your father answers you roughly? Jonathan had a plan, and they had this feast for 3 days. And the king had this feast at the palace, and David had a seat next to the king because he worked for the king. So Jonathan said, I'll tell you what, David, you stay in hiding, and you don't show up to this feast. And I'll tell my father that your family is doing an annual sacrifice, so you couldn't come to the feast. And I'll see if my father gets upset or not. So the day one, Saul's there, Jonathan's there, the rest of the king's people are there, but David's seat is empty. And at first, you know, Saul didn't think much about it, and Jonathan told him, you know, he said, well, David's family's having this sacrifice, so David went there, that's why he's not going to be here. I let him go. Basically, Jonathan said, I let him go. And then second day he wasn't there, Saul started to get angry now. And then by the third day, Saul was just furious, and he wanted to kill David. Okay? This is when Jonathan, he told David, he said, David, you hide in the field, and if I shoot the arrow behind my servant, that means stay away. But if I shoot it in front of my servant, that means the coast is clear, and you can come out of hiding. Well, that day, Jonathan shot his arrow past his servant to signify to David that it was not safe to return. Jonathan protected David from his father. He put his own life on the line. He risked his own life for his friend. And Jonathan was grieved for David. Jonathan kept his plan secret. He didn't tell even his servant. So when Jonathan was saying what he was saying, he was actually speaking code, and only David understood. How many know you can't tell everyone your plans? But you can certainly tell a friend your plans, a true friend. And the plan worked. David was saved. David got to escape, and he got to flee. And it was because of his friendship with Jonathan. Amen? So let me just give you a summary of what it means to be a friend. And then I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't have such a good friendship with God, why not make a change? Amen? Why not come closer to God? Why not strengthen your relationship with God? Because if you want to, you know, getting into heaven is all about who you know. Eternal life is this, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. How many know you can know him? You can have a relationship with him. All right? God's calling you closer today. He's drawing you here by his Holy Spirit. You weren't here by accident. You weren't here by happenstance. God knew who was going to be here today. He knew who was going to hear this message today. And this message is not in vain. Amen? And I believe that we have a divine opportunity today to go deeper in a relationship with God and to become closer friends to God than we've ever been before. A friend loves at all times. A friend can speak to another friend with total and complete honesty, even if it hurts. Friends share their counsel with one another. Friends talk with one another. They work out their problems by communicating. What a concept. If we only communicate, do you realize when we don't communicate, we give place to the devil? Because the devil operates in deception. God operates in the light, in openness. Moses was God's friend because he was loyal to him, he listened to him, and he followed him. If you're going to lead 2 to 3 million people out of slavery, you better have a friend like God. You better be God's friend. Friends give things to each other and share things with each other. A friend of God is one who seeks and agrees with the truth. Jesus is the truth. Friends do not slander, they're not evil, and they do not take up a reproach against others. Friends are loyal companions even in adversity. You want a good friend in rough water, especially one that can swim. Amen? A true friend sticks closer than a brother, and Jesus is a friend like this. This is just a summary of what we talked about. Friends love with a pure heart and speak with graceful lips. Friends have an intimacy with each other that permits them to speak with complete honesty. Sometimes you'll hear something more from a friend than you would anybody else. Isn't that true? A friend's counsel is like ointment and perfume. It delights the heart and is sweet. And we thought Hershey was the sweetest place on earth. No, actually, friendship is. Friends do not forsake each other or friends of their parents. Friends sharpen the countenance of other friends. Let me tell you, Jesus will put a smile on your face and he'll put a step in your walk. Friends can go to one another even at midnight. Remember the parable about the guy who ran out of bread? And at midnight, where did he go? He went to the friend's house. You got to be good friends for you to knock on my door at midnight and for me to get up and give you bread. Thank God for friendship. Amen? Listen, there's going to be a time in your life where you will need to lean on someone. You better learn how to lean right now. Because if you don't learn how to lean, you will fall. Friends of the bridegroom stand and hear and rejoice greatly at the bridegroom's voice. What did John the Baptist say? I'm a friend of the bridegroom. He was the best man. John the Baptist was the best man in seeing Jesus get united with his bride, the church. Friendships are close relationships that are based on love. Friends love each other so much that they would lay down their life for each other. Friends know what the other is doing. Friends share secrets with each other. Aren't you glad? Isn't that true? Friend will keep a secret too. Jonathan kept his secret. Friends are fruitful. Friends genuinely love each other. Well, you're here today. Some of you are good friends of God. You have a good relationship. You're close to God. But I know that there are probably some that aren't. But today you can change that. Today, God wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to lead you down a path of true friendship. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be involved in your life to a deeper level than what he was before. Will you go deeper today? Will you be God's friend today? Will you open up your heart and allow God to come in? Even the dark parts, even the parts that aren't so beautiful, that are ugly. Listen, when you allow the true friend, Jesus Christ, to come in, he'll come in and clean house. But you've got to allow him in. He won't force his way in. It's your choice. You can stay where you are with God. No one will know the difference, but I believe that there are some here today that they're hearing a call to come deeper. You're hearing God's voice, and you're feeling God's tug on your heart, and he wants you to come deeper, but you've got to make that step. You've got to take a step of faith. Will you take that step today? Will you be God's friend? Will you develop that close relationship with him? Will you protect him? Will you walk with him? Will you let him speak the truth to you? Like no one, listen, he speaks the truth in love. And anything that he speaks will help you, it won't hurt you. So why don't we stand today, those of us that can stand. I'm asking you to be a better friend of God today. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you've never asked him into your heart. Then the first step is to come and to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Is to call upon Jesus and to surrender your life to him so that he can do his plan for your life. Don't resist God's call. Don't resist his pull on your heart. Hear him today. Hear the word of the Lord today and come and be refreshed. Come and find satisfaction. Come and go deeper with God today. Who will come? I'm inviting you to come right now. Anybody that wants to come and take that step of faith, God will meet you because he loves you. He cares about you. He wants nothing but good for you. Shorten the distance between you and God today. And you will be happy and you will be blessed. And he will equip you to pass every test. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and play the victor's crown that we sang during worship? God's about to crown you with glory today. Hallelujah. Said, oh my son, hear my call.